Alrighty, welcome everyone once again to the Film Buffs podcast. Today it's just me and Jono once again. Our everyone's favorite Mexican, Alex, is out sick. He's been working really hard. He's got a good contract going with Adidas, and apparently they've been working him to the bone. But we wish him well, and we'll see him next week. So it's just me and John today. Jono?
A contract filming for Adidas. He's not an athlete for them.
That's right. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. He's been doing some promotional
work. Want to be really clear about that.
Yeah, there's no athletes in this podcast.
Yeah, we're film buffs.
That's right, but we're
people
not,
who like films,
and we're not overly buff as a group. But
yeah, we're all right.
I mean, we're fit, but you know, buff is yeah. Pretty extreme.
Yeah, buff's not good.
Okay, so today we're talking about the latest Bradley Cooper film starring Lady Gaga, A Star is Born. This is, for those of you who don't know, it's actually a remake. It was done in the 80s with Barbara Streisand, in the 50s with Judy Garland, and in the 30s with another actress. So I know the internet is blowing up with the question, is this movie about Lady Gaga's life and career? No, it's not. It's a remake of a remake of a remake. So anyways, here we go. John, how'd you think? Or what'd you think about it?
I thought it was pretty good, I guess. I mean, can't say this is my favorite style of film, and also, that's a lot of remakes. They don't make enough remakes, though, I think,
really,
so it's kind of nice to have this happen.
We really need more remakes in the world.
Yeah, and sooner. You know, like, a movie should come out, and then a remake should happen at least within 2 years. That would be nice.
That would be nice, kind of like, you know, the Spider-Man movies.
Yes. Well, this particular film, I mean, I can see why people like it, and I enjoyed the Reese's Minis that I was eating while I was there, and I actually still have some left over, and I'm still enjoying them. So, as we speak.
Well, that's good.
They've come a long way, those Reese's Minis, from that movie viewing. So, yeah, I thought it was a decent film. I'm willing to. I have a feeling after we talk about this, though, we'll shed some light on some stuff. What did you think, Dan?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like this film. I think it was an enjoyable film. Technically, it looks great. I was very impressed with Bradley Cooper. I mean, he's always excellent. I think he's getting more and more excellent as he goes. And I was pleasantly surprised by Lady Gaga's performance.
Yeah, I think performance-wise, both of them, obviously, they were stealing the spotlight there, and both of them did a pretty good job. Bradley Cooper, I thought what they were doing with him at first was kind of, I didn't know if I liked it at first, but then I was like, yeah, he's pulling this off, this kind of country rock star struggling with addiction kind of thing. He did a pretty good job, I thought, and Lady Gaga did a good job too.
Yeah, man, that opener, though, Bradley Cooper comes out with a guitar and he just starts rocking out. And I thought he looks like a freaking rock star, that's for sure. I thought he looked really cool with the long hair.
Yeah, I thought he was, he did a fantastic job. And the whole time I was like, I believe this. And like his accent, his delivery, everything mm-hmm. was very convincing. And he was a cool character. I bought it. The performance, you know, I talked to somebody on the way out of the film, someone that I ran into that I work with, and he made a pretty good point. He's like, the stage performances that were in this film were really interesting and well shot.
Yeah.
You know, like you felt, they felt like real concerts. They felt immersive. They were dynamic, fun, and they a lot of drama and interesting things happened at those concerts too, so everything was pretty good about that, I thought, and performances were great too, so I can't really complain about that.
Yeah, no, apparently all the music is original. Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga wrote all the music for it, apparently, and
they did?
I think
Bradley
a lot of
Cooper was involved.
Yeah, he spent, like, he said that he hasn't done anything else other than this film in the last 4 years because he was working with I can't remember the name of the guy, but Hollywood's sort of leading vocal coach, and he learned to play guitar, and yeah, he was full on into this role. So he's
so he actually was playing guitar.
Yeah. Apparently they shot a lot of the concert scenes at a real festival so that they could get the crowd shots and the reactions, but somebody said that only the first four rows could hear the actual music because they didn't want like the copyright and everything, but just to get sort of the energy of the crowd, and they shot it in front of a live audience, which is an interesting way to go about it. I don't know how I'd feel if I was in the audience and couldn't hear the music, but
I'd be like, boo.
Yeah, you would imagine there'd be a lot of booing.
Yeah, can't hear it.
Turn it up.
Just like, yeah, I would imagine. I thought that was great though that they did all that live, the live crowd stuff. I noticed that obviously. That's not something that you would do too often in a film. Obviously, you would either composite that in or something like that, or
otherwise you pay a ton of extras to be there.
Well, most of them. So you said it was at a festival.
Yeah, I can't remember which one. Maybe it was like Coachella or something like that. I don't know.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm sure most people would have been stoked to be in the crowd for a Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper appearance on stage, whether or not they could hear it or not. So
yeah.
But yeah, that was I thought the concert stuff was really interesting, and yeah, it had a good flow. The story was good. It was it had a lot. They came a long way in this movie, you know, from her start at the drag show and going from there. And you know, I thought for the most part there was some kind of unbelievable weird things going on, but for the most part, I thought it was. It wasn't too cheesy like these films can be, right? Mm-hmm. Like some of them are like Mariah Carey's
Glitter.
Was it 2002? I never saw it, but you
like
just
that.
Saw
yeah.
the, you see the cover and you're like, well, that's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So.
And it was. It truly was.
And I'm sure, without having seen it, I can say that it was.
Well, having seen it, it was.
Oh, you've seen it?
I saw it, yeah, when I was a teenager. I think my sister had rented it. And, man, it was bad.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Dan.
But you know
well,
what?
I hope it made you a better person.
There's a value in watching terrible films, you know? There's something,
yes, there
there's
is.
Something to appreciate and something to learn from. I don't know. It was.
I'm a huge fan of the worst film of all time, The Room, starring Tommy Wiseau.
Yes, I am as well. But that's on on a different level, you know. That's like
it is. That's beyond bad. Good. It's so bad, it's good, of course. And
Glitter
is probably not that. I'm assuming.
And no, because you know, Glitter is trying to be a good film. It's trying to make all these things and just failing on every level. Whereas The Room is just somebody flailing around in the dark trying to make a Hollywood film and having
and
no
smoking
basis.
The bullseye.
No, yeah, having no basis in reality. So.
The Room really is a guy standing on a one-legged stool with a dart facing the other way, and his the stool's on fire, and he throws the dart, and he hits the bullseye. It's just this garbage fire of or tire fire of a film that totally hit the mark.
Yeah,
I love it.
I do too. It's so much fun. We should do a podcast about the Room. Actually.
Oh man, it's I would love that. It's a genius film. I think we're the first people ever, or at least the first podcast to talk about Glitter.
Well, I think. Oh no, that was Gigli. Another terrible film that I watched just because it was considered one of the worst films. Remember that one? With Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez?
Years ago.
Yeah.
I watched that years ago with on a date.
Oh, God.
And rented it. And it was the worst. It was so bad we turned it off.
Yeah.
Within I think, 15 minutes. We'd heard it was bad, but.
That was something you have
really
to witness because it's horrendous.
Yeah, but we couldn't get through it.
Yeah. Well, I did. But I remember watching Conan O'Brien that year, and I think the movie came out in April, and he comes out and does this monologue, and he says, Gigli has been rated the worst film of the year. It's only April, and that's the cutoff. That can't get any worse than this.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fantastic.
I remember that. I don't think I've ever seen a film come out that got as much just... bad bad press as that film. Really. I remember that so vividly, too. Yeah, Conan coming out and doing all that stuff. Like, that film got torn to shreds, and it was great. I don't, it was an entertaining time, that movie coming out. It also seemed to have ruined Bennifer, the relationship there. Were they Bennifer? Were they Bennifer or
I
was
think
the other?
They were. No, he dated two Jennifers or married two Jennifers, so they were both he Bennifer and Bennifer.
Did he marry her too?
I don't know. He marries everybody.
That's nice.
Yeah. He really likes to anymore. Give half of his stuff away every 10 years.
Yeah. He's it's a little bit of a spring cleaning thingy.
It's like divorce. Yeah, the new spring
I've got
cleaning.
Too many I've got too many couches and cars. Let's get divorced. Yeah. You take that. So anyways, this film.
Yes, let's get back to A Star Is Born.
I was listening, before we do that, and I'm gonna keep making this mistake. I was listening to our First Man podcast, and it took us a long time to get to the actual film part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's great, though. I like it. It's a fun way of doing it. We talk about it, and then we get to the film. But having said that, let's get to the film. So, yeah, I thought that performance-wise, everything was great. Believable story. Not too cheesy. Not too glittery. It was good. And I thought, I was kind of like, you know what? It didn't surprise me that Lady Gaga did a decent job of this and wasn't too cheesy. She's a little bit more of a raw person in this, even though she's a big performer in the spotlight. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, this kind of seemed like it would come naturally to her. I wasn't surprised. Mm. I didn't have this preconceived notion that she was going to do a terrible job. So or this was going to be a cheesy, corny movie. Like, it was decent. It dealt with some issues, and yeah, it was good. So.
Yeah, no, I was just impressed that, like, you know, it usually takes a while to reach a consistent level of performance as an actor and actress, and especially in a fairly emotional film. So for her to have never done a feature film before and to come out and give such a strong outing, I was just really, really impressed. But apparently I was watching some videos with her, and she said it's all due to Bradley Cooper, because he's just this amazing director and just continually provided such a safe space for her to explore and to really just learn how to act as they went. And apparently it was just a great experience for her. But and that was another thing I liked a lot, is they continually had really, really genuine moments between the two of them throughout the film. So really good job on that front.
Yeah, and it seemed like a good film to do that. I mean, it's mostly them together on camera for a majority of the film. Obviously, there are points where they separate and do their own scenes, but you can definitely get the sense that they would evolve throughout the film, or at least be able to get comfortable and, you know, have those director actor moments where they kind of find their voice and all that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So,
sounds like for him that would have been kind of a similar experience. They were in a bit of the same boat throughout this film, because it's his directorial debut and it's her acting debut. So
yeah,
I'm sure they probably had this great understanding working together on set that, you know, we're doing this together, and we're gonna make it the best we can make it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think as a directorial debut for Bradley Cooper, this was a really strong showing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I thought so too. When you see an actor take on their first director role or whatever, you kind of feel like, sometimes I noticed, you felt like you were paying attention to that, or like you kind of got this vibe that it was a directorial debut. I forgot about that pretty quickly in this film. And maybe it wasn't the type of film where direction was a huge part of it from a camera and framing standpoint.
Right.
But I'm sure he did fine as like directing actors. Obviously, Lady Gaga is saying that's what happened. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, when you're in a position like that, you obviously want to hire the best. So I'm sure he worked with, I didn't look it up, but I'm sure he worked with a fantastic DP, and I'm sure his crew is amazing. So that's,
yeah, totally.
When you're in a role like that, you really have to rely on a DP and a second, basically a technical director.
Yeah. So it seems like that's what happened. But again, like, across the board, you know, well done film.
Yeah.
Good acting. Yeah. And,
Did you get sense of Bradley Cooper sort of a little bit of Kurt Cobain in his mannerisms?
Oh, that's interesting.
I kept looking at the way he would constantly put his hands through his hair and he sort of like look down in front of the mic and mumble. I don't know. It just reminded me a bit of Cobain. What do you think?
That was a nice combination of his first name and last name.
Yeah,
Cobain.
Cobain.
Cobain. Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain.
Cobain. It's Kurt Cobain.
Cobain. Yeah, okay.
I believe. You know what? I don't remember.
There is a Cobain.
There is a Cobain. Yeah, there is. I think it's Kurt Cobain. Oh, man. Let me find out here.
Anyways, I think we all know who we're talking about. The Nirvana frontman.
Well, maybe we don't. Maybe we sound like idiots.
That's entirely possible. It's Cobain.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would imagine that he probably looked through some footage of famous rock stars who had struggled with addiction. And, I mean, Kurt Cobain is a famous example of that, unfortunately. Have you seen his documentary or the documentary about him, Montage of Heck?
No, I haven't.
Really good. Very sad.
Okay, because I watched the Foo Fighters one, and it kind of picks up with the death of Cobain. You know, the Foo Fighters one is back and forth. But no, I haven't seen the Cobain one.
I saw that, too. I didn't like the Foo Fighters one for mainly the reason that it felt unnecessary, a little too soon,
yeah.
And it felt like it was done by, it was pushed by Dave Grohl, and he drives a lot of the interviews in a kind of cheesy way. I don't know if you felt that. It was just the way he reflects on stuff. It was like, this feels forced right now. It feels made by the band, you know?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I felt that was...
Didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, I mean, it is too soon because they're still making music. They've never retired. They've never gone away, but... You kind of get the sense that I didn't like it for the fact that you really see how it's really just Dave Grohl's band and it's not really everyone's thing. Like Dave Grohl writes everything, and if it's not exactly how he hears it, then there's seems to be a lot of heck to pay.
Yeah, and he plays every instrument in the early days, right? Like you can tell how much ownership he had over that situation, and you kind of get the impression that he's a bit of a control freak.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't let other people bring stuff to the table in the way he had people exit the band in that film. Like, it was like, I watched that. I was like, I'm not becoming more of a fan of Dave Grohl right now. I'm getting like a bit of an egotistical vibe off of this film.
Yeah.
Like, just like, I didn't like it. But, we'll backtrack right back to the film from this another tangent. Montage of Heck, great film, very sad, very very dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Grohl's really not in it too much, I don't think, but like art direction wise it was very well done. It's they use his Dave Grohl or sorry Kurt Cobain's diary and stuff, but yeah, you kind of get that very broken person out of that film, and I can see possibly Bradley Cooper taking that and other cues from other stars that had struggled with addiction and probably pulling that in there. Yeah, I can see where you're getting that Kurt Cobain vibe though.
Yeah, okay, cool. That was just me.
No, that's a really interesting point, actually. I'm sure a lot of country music stars have that kind of personality too, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge country music guy, but I just felt just the mannerisms and the way he continually played with his hair just very much reminded me of Cobain, so I just wanted to bring that up. But, okay, so we talked about all the good things. Now, one of the things that I kind of struggled with was trying to figure out what this movie was really about, you know, because they bring up the issues of depression and substance abuse and all that sort of stuff. But I don't feel like they made a definitive point on it. Do you?
So this is a really great segue into this, because I thought that, or this is a great topic to talk about, because I thought that exact same thing. I thought they they tried to have a theme that didn't really land for me in the end.
Yeah.
And
okay.
they really beat you over the head with this, like, you have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, make sure it's heard.
Yeah,
they kind of, and they said the same thing over and over again, like, make your, like, I can't remember what it exactly was, but it's like, make your voice heard. You have something to say, say it and people will listen.
Yep.
But only for so long. And then they had kind of all these little side points to that, like, you have something to say and worth saying. And they had that with in the beginning, when he first meets her in the parking lot. He talks about that with his brother, basically when he steals his voice. And then when they get married, and before she becomes a pop star, he says to her, like, you be authentic, use your voice. You have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
People will listen to you, and you have the talent to do it. Kind of thing. And that was always the thing, is you have something to say.
Yeah.
And in the end, I didn't really feel like that came full circle, but also it kind of bothered me. I mean, it sort of did, but it just bothered me that they beat you over the head with it in the whole film. It's like, here's the theme, here's the theme, here's the theme. Didn't really feel like it came through in the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really glad that I'm doing this podcast with you, because I had the exact same feeling, and all those points are in my notes. But more to that, though, I don't feel like they did have anything really definitive to say about any of the topics or themes that they tried to discuss. But as a filmmaker and as a director, it's really important that you know what you're going to say and you know what you want to say. And I feel personally that this was the case with Bradley Cooper, that he was trying to say something and he had something to say, but he just wasn't really able to do it. I don't think he landed definitively on anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, what was the last song that they sang?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
But that is kind of the always remember us this way. Is that right?
Yeah, it could be. I'm not great with
music.
See,
it wasn't even that. It wasn't. Well, that's the thing. This whole thing's about music,
mm-hmm.
and that last song was kind of supposed to be the tying things with the bow. Like, he dies, and it didn't feel like she sang the song that he wrote. So here's where it does kind of have this connection. He makes her famous by writing her song that had lyrics that she had already done, and
Shallow.
She had a bit of a so he picks up where she starts and hands it back to her. So there's this kind of baton handling between the two of them, and they're running this. That's where this whole kind of race starts with them. And at the end, he's written something and she carries that onto stage on the stage. But again, it didn't really feel like any of them were saying much with what they were doing with that platform. The last song is just like a farewell song.
Yeah.
And it didn't really like have any emotion other than just like the loss part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't like feel like a character shift for her, because she actually stays the same. She just always loves him throughout. And he always loves her throughout the film, and she sticks beside him to the very end and wants him to like come back to being who he was. But he was always a drunk and an embarrassment and with talent and a fan base, right? So she just loves him to the end, and then in the end, he just thinks that she needs to be sent off on her career, and like he wants to let her spread her wings. But he always kind of wanted her to do well at the same time. There were jealousy moments, but none of them really have a big shift, I found, except for the fact that he's just like, I'm going to kill myself now.
Yeah, they
spoiler.
They continue to bring up these points, and like you said, the jealousy and everything, and they hit on these things, but they never resolve them.
Mm-hmm. They always kind of, like, he's jealous for a minute, and then nothing really comes
And then
it.
He smudges cake on her face, and she's mad at him, but then she's able to forgive him right away and close the door and presumably, you know, get it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so one of the things... okay, go ahead.
I do get a bit of that full circle thing, but it just kind of makes you realize, like, no matter what genre you're in, no one's really saying much with their platform, you know what I mean?
Right.
You have something, it's like, okay, really what the theme of this should be is, like, you're good at music, you should sing, and people should listen to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they did keep bringing that up, like, it's not always the best people who get the platform, you know, the dad with his whole, I was better than Sinatra, but, you know, he comes up there with his blue eyes and his good looks and everybody swoons. It's like, well,
yeah,
so that is kind of a theme as well. But here's what I wanted to see from Lady Gaga's character, and I feel like both of them were continually pushing this point, is this was sort of the secondary theme, I think, that they didn't land with, but they were hitting on a little bit, was art versus product.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with you know, he's an artist and he's a musician and she's an artist, but she doesn't have a platform. So then she gets brought into his world and he, you know, releases her to be this amazing performer and artist. And that's where she's happiest. That's where she's most fulfilled, is singing those songs with him in that style. And then she becomes famous and she gets picked up by the producer. And then she starts getting turned into the product. You know, she starts having to do things she doesn't want to do. She's uncomfortable with the dancers. She doesn't feel like this is her music anymore. But there's never a rejection of that comes full circle. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she
yeah, and this ties back to what you were just saying, is like nothing really fully resolves. No one faces these things. Yeah. I completely agree. And that, like, everything just kind of went halfway with the conflict in this.
Yeah. So,
you know?
Yeah. Like, they had the scene after she's famous and they've had an argument and he's drunk again in the house and she's in the bathtub. He comes back into the bathroom and he's talking to her, like, he's telling her that what she's doing is not art. You know, it's crap and it's blah, 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 blah. And she's upset with him. But she seems to inherently know that, but doesn't acknowledge it. And then she just carries on in this industry doing these things. And it seems that she's okay to be a product as long as she's famous for it.
Mm-hmm. And like her, that you don't get the sense that what she really loves doing, like she's actually betrayed a part of herself
yeah.
by pursuing this pop thing. You never get that sense that what she really loved to do was perform with him. She was going to bring him back on tour the mm-hmm. night that, or perform with him that night. But she wasn't giving anything up from her style.
Yeah.
She was just going to take a break from it and then go back out and continue to be a pop star. And mm-hmm. she was just like cutting the tour off for that little, so they could have the summer together. But again, nobody really is, she's not really giving anything up. She's not really coming face to face with the implied thing that she's sold out.
Yeah. And that's really, you know, what I felt was missing from her character arc. I wanted to see a moment where she realizes she's sold out. She realizes that she hates doing what this sort of evil manager guy is doing or wants her to do. And I wanted her to reject that and then go back to where we saw her at the beginning, which was on stage with a band, with live music. And you kind of get that a little bit with that at the end, but it's never a full realization, because even that song and the style that she sings it in is not really what she was doing at the beginning. So that's what I wanted to see
yeah.
from her as a character.
But again, like, she, that just feels like a side performance
mm-hmm.
that a Lady Gaga would do. Lady Gaga is very eccentric performer, pop star, major star. And in this, but she'll do kind of classic performances like any other pop star who has talent. You know, they'll
yeah.
go do a big, you know, award show performance and duet and do a special song, but then they go back and do their own thing. And I kind of felt like that was what that was. It wasn't her like letting go of the career or the genre and taking control of her life and doing what she wanted to do. It just felt like it was a tip of the hat to her husband and her who just passed away, and you know, she's gonna keep going and being a star.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't feel like she faced any conflict other than like that they were actually dealing with, other than the fact that, you know, she was willing to take a vacation from her work for him so he could recover. That's nice and all, I get that, but mm-hmm. It didn't feel like that was what the real theme they were dealing with throughout the whole film. That was the thing, is like they talk about this theme of you have to say something because you have the talent and you have something to say, but it just didn't feel like they said anything in the end.
Exactly. like it feels like they're trying to make a critique of the music industry but failing to make a definitive statement.
Absolutely. And that this did in that sense fall super flat for me. I mm-hmm. was like, they're fortunate that they had a good dynamic between the two of them, and that kind of struggle of him holding her back because he's a drunk was like very arresting and impactful. Like him pissing his pants on the stage was like that. I mean, that's a pretty in your face scene. Like it's tough to watch. Like they did a good job of drawing out a lot of this raw, real kind of awkward mess that they were living in.
Mm-hmm.
But like we've seen that a million times before, where like people are a weight and a drag for someone else in a relationship. In this, it didn't seem like they were dealing with that. We already knew he was a mess going into the relationship.
Yeah.
What it would have been nice to see was her learning what she really wanted to do to be a star, you know?
Yes, because that's never entirely clear at all either, right? We meet her and she's hiding in the drag bar and she's just being allowed to sing because the drag queens love her, but you don't really know why it is that she wants to sing other than the fact that she's really good. And you don't understand what her goal is with being in the industry, you know?
Yeah, I felt the exact same way.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, that I thought, like, overall, most things flowed pretty well, but did you feel like the Dave Chappelle scene was just, totally just jammed in there?
really which one? The scene
it was just
on
the one Dave Chappelle?
Or the one in the kitchen?
The whole thing. Just the whole Dave Chappelle.
Segment.
Yeah. I guess it would be called a sequence, technically, of scenes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I felt Dave Chappelle did another good job, but yeah.
I didn't think he did a bad job. It was just like,
it is. Like
he wakes up in the bushes. Sorry,
yes.
This is where I'll show you where
okay.
I get lost on this, and maybe I missed something because I was actually in a very like involved crowd for some reason. I don't know if it was like this for you, but like the guy sitting next to me in the theater was like the whole time, and then there were people around us reacting like that constantly.
Yeah,
but then also just like the women in the audience were just like oh my god like
we had women sobbing at the end.
Yeah, at the end there was but it was really funny. It was full theater, and you could just hear like the credits start rolling, and you can just hear this one voice like, just like you had no idea where this person was, but it was one person just like whimpering in the crowd, dead silence.
Yeah,
just like. It was awesome.
It's so fantastic.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I enjoyed the crowd more than I enjoyed the film, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
Honest.
Yeah,
it was great.
Ahead. Yeah.
Anyways, so Dave Chappelle, he wakes up after doing drugs, drinking in a bush across the street from Dave Chappelle, and Dave Chappelle goes out, finds him, pulls him out of the bush. You're just like, okay. He obviously figured out how to get to his friend's place. Fine. That's great. But he ends up in this bush, passed out. Dave Chappelle comes and gets him. And I'm just, you just don't really have this explanation of like who Dave Chappelle is. You know, he's a friend from the past. And then I guess you see the guitars on the wall. So he's obviously a musician he's played with or at least connected with.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt super random, and it just like could have been anybody. And how did he get there? How did Lady Gaga find him? Like, I felt like that scene just like jumped around, and they expected you to just kind of fill in the gaps, but it made no sense that she found him, that he was there. It just felt like this really, you know, put in there scene just for, you know, for
just to get them to
moving
the
plot along. Yeah, just to move some elements of the story along a little bit quicker.
Yeah,
and
potentially.
I didn't really feel. I mean, I know what it was doing there. It just felt super random that it was. It felt like it was like, here's Dave Chappelle, and I love Dave Chappelle. I think he's great, and I think he did a good job.
Yeah,
but
he did.
I don't know. Did you feel like it was a weird scene?
Yeah, I felt it was weird just in the fact that, you know, he said he was going to go to her show, and instead goes out, gets wasted, ends up at his friend's house, lets her down yet again. She shows up and wakes him up and just says, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then everything is peachy, and then she's engaged the next moment. So it was, again, one of those scenes without consequences and without really ending anywhere, I felt. So for me, it was weird in that sense.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. I just kind of thought it was a bit of an odd placement of this. I don't know. It felt a little bit forced for me.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, who is Dave Chappelle in this film? Why is he here?
Who is this wise sage?
Yeah. Who was obviously a man who's left this whole stardom behind.
Which, hey, you know what, is actually reflected in the person of Dave Chappelle. So, interesting casting choice.
That's actually true. Very interesting casting choice. Mm. I respect that. That's right.
Bradley Cooper, good job. Yeah, I think, okay, so one of the things I want to know is, what do you think Bradley Cooper's character is running from? You know, why is he the way that he is? Why is he an alcoholic? Why is he a drug addict when seemingly his life is good? I mean, we know he's running from some pain in the past, but what exactly is it that is setting him off? Because it always seems to be right before a concert that he needs to get his fix, right? So I'm just a little curious as to what you think it could be, because it was beyond me, honestly.
What drives him to drink and drugs?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, what is this character upset about?
Yeah, I would say that wasn't in. Well, obviously, I feel like he's holding on to the. They've kind of set up that he holds on to a lot of the past with his dad.
Yeah.
And I guess it was a bit of an maybe abusive past. So, yeah, I didn't really know what drove him to drink. I got the impression that, like, the music industry had essentially. He'd become desensitized to the fame.
Sure.
And they say at certain times throughout the film, Dave Chappelle also says it, his brother says it, that when he plays with Lady Gaga for the first time, people feel like he hasn't played like that in years.
Yeah. So he finds a piece of himself
and most
in
of
her.
His. Yeah. And he finds his original passion, I guess, in performing with her. And then when they're off, most of the time when he really abuses stuff, she's not there. For those performances.
Yeah.
You know, the one where he gets super high on coke and drinks and his ears start ringing.
Yeah.
That's when, and you, then he wakes up and Dave Chappelle's block. So that's
right,
where he really abuses the substances. And then there's the other one, where he's performing on stage alone and he ends up getting cut from the lead singing part. And that's the night he pisses himself on stage. So I'd say that he found his voice in performing with her. And when he's not, he feels like he doesn't really have, he doesn't care, it would seem.
So
I would say that's probably where it comes through. I mean, where there are problem areas in this film, I think if you dig deep enough, you can probably find the connections you're looking for. But I think the biggest, we hit the biggest issue with the film is that everything is doesn't resolve, or it feels like they only go halfway with it, and they don't bring their theme into the areas where they would have been more impactful, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I think it's an easy thing to have a music industry film where someone's destructive, self-destructive, and relationship destructive. I think that's an obvious thing to do.
Yeah.
What their creative opportunity here to make it a more interesting film, and we've hit this, is that they could have explored this struggle of actually identifying what the real thing they wanted to say was, and what the best way was to say that while still being true to yourself, kind of thing, without being cheesy, you know?
Totally.
So I think that it could have been cheesy if that was what it was all about, but combined with this real life drug addiction / relationship, they really could have balanced that out well and made it more real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the missed opportunity was. Great problem, conflict within the relationship. They didn't explore it on a broader scale in the actual performance aspect of it.
Yeah, I think what you just said is right. Like the emotional aspect and the relational aspect is what really carries the film, and the performances of the actress and the connection between the two of them and the audience to these characters. You want to see him get better. You want to see her take her opportunity. And I think that those are the real core strengths of the film. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I felt... Okay, so I don't know if you've seen it, but I watched the Barbra Streisand version, I don't know, several weeks ago. And again, it's this sort of weird, loosey-goosey film. Doesn't really say a whole lot. And then we have, of course, the tragic ending. And I thought, I don't know, this ending upsets me a lot, because I feel like it's, in both versions that I've seen, it's very unjustified. What did you think?
I haven't seen the Barbra Streisand one. Maybe I should.
That's all right. Actually, I will say, before you answer, the strength of the Barbra Streisand one lies in her final song, because the way that they do that one, it's an incredibly emotional song, and Barbra Streisand, you know, she's been an actor for ages, so she's able to go to this very deep emotional place, and they shoot her whole final song in basically a medium close-up, and so you mm-hmm. see right into her eyes and in her face all of the emotions that she's going through. Like, she cries, and then she gets angry, and then she has like a resolution and finds strength again, all within the song. And it's really, really beautiful done. I will say, I cried. I wept like a baby.
Oh, Dan, I'm so sorry to
hear that. It's okay. No, it really got me. It was really well done.
But well, then, that's the power of the cinema, Dan.
Well, that is the power of cinema, John. And that's why great we do this podcast, because we love it. But
it's powerful stuff.
But that's where, unfortunately, I don't think Lady Gaga was able to get to that. Those real high ends of the emotional spectrum. And I didn't like the way that they had to keep cutting around her song at the end to make the whole visual of it tie together.
That's an interesting... It would have been interesting to have seen that. Well, I'm glad you did, because then that really does identify a weak point again. Like, there's a... I mean, not that Lady Gaga did a bad job.
No,
she did fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you have like a seasoned actor who can do something like that, that's very, very powerful. The question that you asked, do you think it was necessary or do you think it was justified?
Yeah.
I was assuming you were going to say that the suicide thing at the end kind of comes across as a bit of a emotional cop-out, I guess, to really hit hard, I guess. I thought that was what you were going to say. And I would probably say, oh yeah, well, that's a very dramatic thing to have happen.
Mm-hmm. Which I didn't say, though.
And you didn't say that. No, I thought you were going to. But I mean, part of me thinks that I don't really know how any other way that they would have done it to make it a powerful moment or to give the film more meaning and weight, I guess.
Mm.
Like I said, I feel like they do a lot of this handing off and on their journey together, this baton passing thing, and that's kind of the final one there. I as sad as it is, he makes a sacrifice in a sense for her. He feels like he's a terrible weight on her career. But that was another thing that I felt like was a bad, well, not bad, but half resolved again. You have the manager come to him, plant this seed in his head all of a sudden.
Oh, man, hang on. Can you imagine if somebody outside of your relationship came to you and said something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's perceived as a jerk because she hasn't divorced your ass. I was like, whoa, dude, like right there, there's an opportunity to really dig into the music industry, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally, yeah. The manager coming in and having way too much weight on the direction of someone's life on a very, very personal level. And yeah, you know what, like this guy kind of comes in out of the blue, and he's also like, he's sort of a dick, but not really, which was kind of weird. Like that was his worst moment and it was terrible, but this guy just kind of comes in and like, you know, reroutes the story every once in a while.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's never, there's never anything dealt with him at all either. Like, he's just kind of like, now the story's going this way now. And I get that, but I just kind of felt like he was a very, I don't know. I kind of wanted some kind of
resolution. You wanted resolution a stronger villain out of him, right?
Yeah, like he was kind of halfway too. I wasn't like, I don't hate this guy. I hate him in that moment, but
you
then
want
you're also
to hate
like
him. You feel like you should hate him.
Yeah, but also there's points where he's not like trying to take advantage of Lady Gaga. He actually is just trying to help her career. So nobody really feels like not everybody feels like they carry a ton of weight, or there's not a lot of responsibility put onto characters in this, especially with him.
Yeah.
So you don't hate even the bad guy in that moment very much. And I thought that was a little bit underwhelming, but also like it completely sent Bradley Cooper off in this direction that was really sad. So I don't know, to answer your question, justified. Yeah, I don't really know how they could have done it any other way. But that whole lead up to it to me was just a little bit, you know, again, halfway.
Well, see, I struggle with it because in both versions, they come to this point of peace. You know, Bradley Cooper goes to rehab. He apologizes. He confronts some things in his life, and he seems to get his life on track. And I know these things are very delicate subjects, but just a small tip and he's over the edge again. So, and I know that happens, but for me, I feel like they're really just trying to make the title of the film work in the whole metaphor of a star is born in the dust of a dying star, right? So they're just kind of forcing him to die in order for her to fully be the star, but I feel like she's already become the star even while he's still alive. And you know, she's so emotionally dependent on him, and she loves him so much that for him to take that away from her, I feel would be so much more destructive than for him to stay with her.
Yeah, when you think about like the impact of that on her, it would almost drive somebody into the same self-destructive. We don't really know what happens after, but you know it wasn't the... She didn't need that push to become a bigger star.
No.
You know?
No.
So you feel like a star is born the second he puts her on stage.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
When he fully releases her. So you already get that, like, something great has happened early in the film. You see the star, you see that trajectory. At the end, it just kind of feels like, yeah, the star was already born. The whole dust of a dying star thing. You don't feel like she's been skyrocketed or been liberated in some way that she's going to do something greater than she's already done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I
struggle again, because she hasn't confronted any of the major, like the theme of it, right? Like, have I found my voice? You know, she just kind of plays in every genre. She was going to do a country song with her husband the day before she did her end song, you know, like she was just going to keep doing all the things. She wasn't elevating herself.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's about all I've got to say about this film. What about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That was.
One thing that okay, so the first time I saw Lady Gaga perform anything other than like her disco stick kind of music was at the Oscars in 2015. She did the tribute to The Sound of Music.
Right, yeah.
And that was the first time I'd heard her full range, and it was so impressive. But again, going back to this, the music that she sings in this film, I just continually feel like, man, if you can sing like that and make music like that, why wouldn't you? You know, why wouldn't you do everything you could to continue doing that? Rather, I don't know. I know it's got a huge fan base and everything, but the whole house dance pop stuff, it just doesn't do it for me. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't really take... I'm sure anybody who's a Lady Gaga fan would be very upset for me saying this, but it just doesn't, like, you don't get the sense that what she's gotten famous for takes much talent, especially lyrically. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
They're stupid, stupid songs.
Yeah.
They're mindless.
Yeah. It's the product. It's the product. Product versus art.
Yeah. Well, she, in that sense, like, she has been like a performance artist for sure.
I don't want to take anything away from her as an artist, but just sort of the.
Oh, I mean, disco stick, poker face, like all that stuff. I mean, sure, maybe I haven't listened to them enough to understand the deeper meaning of them, but I gotta say, like, sorry, those are not. If we want to talk about you have something to say, I can't really say that any of that was worth saying.
Yeah.
The disco stick. But there's no doubt that she's talented. Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, I've seen performances of Lady Gaga's that are like, yeah, she's super talented, obviously. She belongs there.
Yep.
And she's also... But, I mean, this is the thing about her as a performer. I respect it. Is that she's... produce something that's given her a platform to do whatever she wants. You know, she's talented enough and smart enough, or at least somebody behind her is smart enough to say, here's your audience and they are going to buy your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I don't know. I can understand why people like her do what she does.
Yeah.
But also, she's super talented. So nothing against her at all.
Yeah.
But all I can't say that I appreciate those songs.
Yeah, that's legit. Yeah, I'm with you there.
It's like, I can't even remember. They stick in your head, though.
Oh,
but
definitely.
Like, come on. Pa-pa-pa-poker face. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
It just, wow. Like, that just to me is like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
There's something impressive about it, actually.
Well, it was like, okay, so that was the era, right, of... repeating the syllable over and over and over again. And I remember
it's not over.
No, I know it's not over, but that's when it started. That was about 10 years ago, I think. Like 2008, 2009. And then Coldplay came out with their album, and I loved the album before, but then they started doing that paradise, and that drove me nuts because I freaking hated that. That was again another instance where I felt like a great band kind of sold out a little bit to do what everyone else was doing.
Yeah, I really like... I think I know the Coldplay album you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which one?
Oh, I don't know. I just... The one with Paradise on it. I think it was 2011. Came out.
It was the one after...
It was after Viva La Vida. Which was a fantastic album.
Yeah, no. That's the one I'm talking about. It's the one I liked was Viva La Vida.
Yeah. That but it's the next one that I didn't like. All right, so...
Viva La Vida...
Yeah, Viva La Vida, and then...
that was 2008. Then it was Milo...
Milo Zylo, I think, was the one.
Zylato or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Anyways.
Yeah.
There's been some okay Coldplay stuff. I can't say I'm a huge fan of theirs either anymore, but I like that album. I like Radiohead. Do you like Radiohead? I'm getting back into their older stuff.
I've never spent a lot of time with Radiohead, to be honest.
You should. Rain in Rainbows is a great album.
Yeah.
Great chill hangout album, you know?
Okay, cool.
Just a suggestion while we're on the topic of music.
Yeah.
Anyways, would you like to rate this film?
I would, but really quickly, I'll just say what Alex told me about his opinion. He texted them to me.
Oh, yes.
He said, technically, his film looks great. There's a lot of good stuff in it. But again, he was with us on the whole voice thing. It doesn't really say anything. And he thinks it'll probably generate Oscar buzz, but will it win or should it win? Absolutely not.
Oh, that's a good point. Do you think it will? Possibly. It feels like one of those things where, like, I was like, I don't think this is Oscar worthy, but I wouldn't, like, I feel like it's one of those things that it might just win for some reason.
Oh,
it'll
man.
Be in there, at least get nominated. And I don't think it deserves a nomination.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think there was anything in the film that was, like, standout. I bet Bradley Cooper will get an Oscar nom for his portrayal of an alcoholic. But even a director nod, I think, would be extreme, but we'll have to see what else comes out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I have a strange feeling about it.
We'll see. We'll check back in a few months.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
It'll be here on the podcast. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. You can do that, right? No.
Yeah,
no,
we could do a live cast. Yeah, we could sit and watch the Oscars and do a live podcast. Why not?
That sounds fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up. Let's rate this thing. What do you give it?
I'm going to give it I feel like I'm going to be harsh on it. I'm going to give this fine. I'll give it 6.5.
Okay. I was going to go 6 myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pushed it closer to 7, but I don't think it deserves it still.
Well, I think it has some good qualities like we talked about, and I think it has definitely rewatchability, and you know, there is a lot of technically good things, sound technical things about the film, but just in terms of the story and the character, that's where it falls flat for me. So
yeah, same here.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Cool.
All right.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. This has been, what has it been, Jono? This has been another podcast by Film Buffs.
It's been another, yeah, definitely has been that, unless we're a different podcast now. I don't know. This is episode 8 for me. I've been keeping track for myself, but I know you guys have done a few other ones. So this is probably, no, sorry, this is episode 7.
Now.
Yeah, you guys are on 10 in total.
9. No, 9. This is 9. Definitely 9. But
wait, yeah, because this is 7 for me. So yeah, we're at 9 total.
Yeah.
You guys
but
a
release order is definitely going to be different. So it's never, because we still haven't
released a whole bunch that we haven't
done yet.
I noticed Man of Steel still isn't up on our Spotify.
Well, I've been trying to get I need to clean up the audio. And I've been trying to get those files back from Alex. It's just been taking us a while to get them.
Sorry, yes, folks.
Those will be up. Man of Steel. We've got Birdman coming as well. What else? There's a Mission Impossible out there in the universe, and also a Wolf of Wall Street that's coming your way. So stay tuned.
Excellent.
Alrighty.
All right.
See you next time, everybody.
See you later.